You should be ashamed that the quality of a young person's education is defined by their zip code. They're not the one who chooses what neighborhood they grow up in. They should not have to atone for any of the bad decisions that their parents or guardians made. They deserve a safe, healthy, prosperous learning environment to function in. That should not be a function based on how much money your parents make. That's ridiculous.
Welcome to Reality Check, a weekly podcast about anything and everything having to do with education. I'm Jeannie Allen, founder and CEO of the Center for Education Reform. We chose the name Reality Check because a lot of what you read about education these days is often wrong or misleading. If you want to know what's really going on in American education, from K through career, you're going to need a reality check. Welcome to another edition of Reality Check. I'm your host, Jeannie Allen, and I'm with my co-host, Michael Musanti.
Thank you, Jeannie. This episode of Reality Check is brought to you by our friends at the Charter School Development Corporation. CSDC is the largest national nonprofit provider of facility solutions to charter schools and has developed or financed almost 6.5 million square feet of educational space over its 20-plus year history that more importantly allows school leaders to focus on the business of educating children and not facility.
Thanks, Michael. And of course, we're here to talk about educating children, and we're here to talk with an amazing star with a huge heart who's made a huge difference in the lives of children in his hometown of Detroit, Michigan. In case you don't know who Jalen Rose is, which is hard to believe anyone out there would not, he's a 13-year National Basketball Association star who is one of the few professional athletes to maintain a high profile post-retirement. Currently, he co-hosts Get Up, a morning sports talk show on ESPN, and the afternoon ESPN talk show, Jalen and Jacoby ESPN program with co-host David Jacoby. Jalen was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, where he attended Southwest High School and the University of Michigan. And in college, he was part of the legendary Fab Five. But most notably, for our purposes, and we're going to talk about more with Jalen today, in 2000, Jalen established the Jalen Rose Foundational Charitable Fund to create life-changing opportunities for underserved youth in Detroit. That led, in September 2011, to the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy, a phenomenal public charter high school in the northwest side of Detroit, which currently serves more than 400 students in grades 9 through 12. 100% of the academy's graduates have gained college, trade, technical school, or military acceptance. Not only are they prize people, Jalen, you are a prize person. You are a trailblazer. You've received an award to that effect, and we are so pleased, Jalen Rose, to have you on Reality Check.
Thank you very much for having me, and I appreciate the work you guys are doing to highlight the amazing work that so many people are doing across the country to give back to communities and young people.
Well, listen, and talk about taking back communities and getting back our communities. You are in Detroit, Michigan. You are, as far as I'm concerned, this is where it's more important. We talk from D.C., New York, wherever, but unless the kids in communities that have just incredible history really learn what it takes to not only they themselves be educated, but sustain a community and civically engaged, it's not going to work. And you and I talked many, many years ago, and you talked about civic engagement and not just education itself, but that was kind of your hook to getting involved, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And I was fortunate enough to have basketball as, you know, something that I was passionate about and I love, but also, though that gained the headlines, I was always passionate about my education. So in high school, I was fortunate enough to be a state champion, city champion, PSL champion, and an All-American. But I took pride at also being on the honor roll and being in honors classes. Same at the University of Michigan. The Fab Five was the headline, but I took pride in being a member of the Dean's List and being a college graduate, even though I left school after my junior season. So as I started to grow and realize how really the quality of your education in the United States has now been defined by your zip code, it was unfortunate as I look back at my journey because I realized each school that I went to at every level had been closed. preschool, elementary, middle school, and my high school.
Wow.
And so I was fortunate enough, again, because of sports, to be able to chase my career, move to the suburbs, put my kids in private school, and it made me truly realize the financial gap that exists in education. For example, in Detroit, northwest side of Detroit, the neighborhood I grew up in, 48235, students from the state get around $8,100. Well, in the suburb that my mother lives in, they get $15,000. I'm fortunate enough to be able to put my kids in private school that we all know can cost you from $35,000 to $50,000, depending on where you live, per year.
Mm-hmm.
So these become investments over a K through 12 period. So that's, and separatism. And so that's why we call it bridging the education gap, because I'm trying to take students who didn't get that level of investment educationally, plus grow up in impoverished environments in a lot of cases, to put themselves in position to go to college and compete for the same seat in a high-level collegiate classroom, put their resume on the desk, and be able to compete in the workforce for a job one day and or be their own entrepreneur.
And that is so compelling that, you know, you're saying, why can't every school in the community not only not be closed like yours were, but thrive and do what it is a private school does? There's no real reason, right? It's not about just the money. Money is important. Money has to follow kids, but it's in getting those expectations. You guys talk about, you talked in your book, your 2015 book, about resiliency and optimism, but in your school, you also talk about these high expectations, and you don't allow kids' broken neighborhoods to be an excuse for failure.
Absolutely not, because you can't predict your circumstances, where you grow up, who you grow up next door to, who's in your family, the decisions your parents make. Because as a young person, you're not the adult in the room or the person that's paying the bill. So, of course, you need all of that family support to kind of nurture you and put you in position to, if they can't give you the advice and the support that you deserve, to get you somewhere where you can get it. And that's why opening a charter high school for me, that not only is responsible for graduating young people from high school, we also graduate them from college as well. You don't get as far with a high school diploma, clearly, as you used to in our country. And so I didn't want to just focus on graduating the young people from high school, because you can't fall into the workforce, in particular in a city like Detroit, the way you were able to in the 70s or even in the 80s. So now we service over 800 students between ninth grade and currently fifth year in college for a lot of them. And so that's why it's very important to nurture them and put them in position. That's why leadership is in the title of our school, because it's all also about their decision-making, their ability to problem solve, exposing them to etiquette, exposing them to things outside of their comfort zone. These all help make well-rounded young people.
Yeah, and Jalen, can you explain a little more about that fifth year? What is done in that fifth year to ensure that they're settling and soft landing in college and moving forward? How do you do that? Because there's been a lot of talk about trying to do that in D.C., and some charter schools are doing it, but it's not really widespread.
So basically, growing up with the mentality that failure is not an option. The Baltimore Ravens, by the way, they look terrific. I know you guys are in the DMV.
Exactly.
I love Lamar Jackson, but I love John Harbaugh. And people have underestimated what their team's slogan is. And it reads, "Nobody cares, play harder."
That's great.
Right, or "Nobody cares, work harder." And the world can be a mean and nasty place. It really can. But your perseverance and your endurance is what's going to put you in a position to chase your goals and your dreams, regardless of your background, inner city, urban community, suburban community. Just because you grow up as a trust fund baby, that don't mean you're going to make quality decisions.
Yeah.
So that's just how this thing works.
And what you said, it's kind of funny, because when you say nobody cares, play harder, sometimes you can't play harder, but what you can do is play smarter. And that's
correct.
A critical difference, right? You can go out and you can try as hard as you can, but if you keep making the same mistakes over and over again, you're not going to move forward. And so it's really critical, especially when children from inner city areas or suburbs go out into the real world. And I came from a very small town outside of Pittsburgh to Washington, D.C., and talk about a little fish in a big pond and being out of the water. I'm dealing with people who are speaking two and three languages and are far better writers than I have, had more life experiences. And what I realized was I could try really hard, but I should try smarter as well.
Right. And based on what you said, we compete in a global economy, as we all know. And a joke that I like to use, it's not something that we should be proud of, but it seems like a fact. And if you guys don't mind, please play along with me.
Yeah,
go ahead.
What do you call someone that speaks three languages?
Smart.
Trilingual.
Trilingual, right.
What do you call someone that speaks two languages?
Bilingual.
What do you call someone that speaks one language?
Lingual.
American.
That's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah.
That's so fantastic.
Because as we look to compete in the global economy, that what they're required to do
exactly
in their hometown, state, country, province, or whatever. And so now they are furthering their cause and making good decisions and putting themselves in a position to be successful. So American students got to step their game up.
Right. That's
right. It's no different than in basketball. In the 80s, most of the players were from the United States.
Right.
But now it's 2020. You got the Greek freak, Luka Doncic. Like, you got to step your game up.
Right. If you want to compete, if you want to win. And so let me ask you this. I mean, one of the reasons I've always been just so excited when people like yourself, Jalen, get involved in education and bring your innovative global mindset to it. Not only is that in itself great, but you are and have been a celebrity. And let's face it, we are all talking about basketball today. We're talking about football. We were all running around the country watching what happened in the World Series. Yes, go Nats. Woo! Right in our backyard. Now, this is on our minds all the time. And education is not, and when it is, we have candidates just saying, let's just be honest, it's not a partisan statement, just saying stupid stuff. So I look at you and I go, I need 1,000 of you every month to step up and do exactly what you're doing. Like, you are a model. So is that what it's going to take to get more people to pay attention so there are more, you know, Jalen Rose Leadership Academies?
Correct. And I agree with you and I appreciate you. The one thing that I always try to do is to plant seeds so others can create a harvest. And I'm really passionate about the work that's happening at the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. I'm also the president of the board. I have constant meetings with the staff, constant email communication, same with our management group. I'm fully invested, as we call it, 10 toes down. When we were going to initially open the school, I recall sending an email list of 50 people we could name the school after. Like, oh my goodness, I'm so very impressed by all of these people. They were like, no, because if you name it after you, we know you're going to own it.
Mm,
and so that's the mentality I try to exude when we're not only trying to educate young people, but give them life-changing opportunities. But in turn, being a celebrity, it now gives me platforms to speak freely about things that I'm passionate about. And since education clearly is one of those things. I used to get frustrated based on what I felt like was a lack of coverage. Because again, I work in sports. So as much as I appreciated being an athlete and getting paid a lot of money and now getting paid to cover the game, I'm also the founder of a school and looking at a country saying, wait a minute, we pay athletes how much? And we pay teachers what?
Mm-hmm.
And so the dynamic in the United States is that we value entertainment more than we do education. And I agree with you that that's sad. And as one person that's trying to do his part to expose the world to some of the injustices that underserve young people and give them a chance to be successful, it also branches out to other public figures. Just follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
See me on ESPN. Follow Jalen and Jacoby podcast. And there are those in one way, shape, or form in basketball that I've seen try to do philanthropic endeavors as it related to some sort of education since I started the school. And that is something that makes me proud.
That's
but
great.
I agree with you. We need a lot more action and a lot less talk.
And the fact that you are running a charter school that has scores and achievement that are equal or parallel to many of those in suburban schools, some people, as you know, have said that couldn't be done. Tell our listeners and tell, hopefully, the policymakers out there listening, and we would hope, maybe dare to hope, that we could get this in front of a candidate or two, why the charter school route? What does it do for you that you can, what does it do for your kids?
Oh, I get to talk to the policymakers? Okay, I'll open up your ears a little bit. Let me clear my throat. So, first off, you should be ashamed that the quality of a young person's education is defined by their zip code. They're not the one who chooses what neighborhood they grow up in. They should not have to atone for any of the bad decisions that their parents or guardians made. They deserve a safe, healthy, prosperous learning environment to function in. That should not be a function based on how much money your parents make. That's ridiculous. The other thing, policymakers, while we are doing what we can as a charter school movement, it's not because we are encouraged to do it. And let me tell you why. We get a grand total of zero state funding for our facility. A grand total of $0 of state funding for our facility. We get zero sport funds for sports and extracurricular activities. There's a case study that says sports may be extinct in inner city schools in 20 years. Do you know the life lessons that young people get from sports, playing on any level at any age? Sacrifice, discipline, teamwork, work ethic, being a student and an athlete, time management, health, nutrition, endurance. The list goes on and on. There's a chance that they may be extinct in our country in 20 years for young people whose parents don't live in the suburbs or whose parents can't afford to put them in college. And lastly, because I could do 100 things, when a young person walks across the stage, it's not goodbye anymore. It should be see you later. This is a 9 through 16 thing. Graduating from high school doesn't get you as far as it used to in the job market. And so therefore, we have to find a way to support these young people via scholarships, being counselors, being giving them the tools that they need, the technology that they need to not only put themselves in position to graduate from high school, but also graduate from college so they don't join a workforce as soon as they take a job that they may not want. Because let's face it, majority of the people living in the United States that were fortunate enough to graduate from college do not work in fields that they have a diploma or a degree in. Just think about that. So that means you end up taking a job that you may not love and don't become an entrepreneur because you have to pay back your student loan.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So those are just a few things I would like to say to you policymakers. And if you're ever in Detroit, please visit the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy.
Well, and Jalen, I had two quick things. One, you sound like, and I'm not going to mention any names, but there are other high profile celebrities and sports veterans who have become involved in the charter school movement, but you know the nitty gritty details. You know your name's on it, and so you're going to care about it, and that's incredible. Do you actually go in and do you testify before the Michigan legislature or the Detroit City Council and go face to face with those folks
or the Congress
or come here?
I've gotten the chance to do that as we were in the process of trying to open JRLA, and it was just mind numbing to me sitting in a room full of adults with decision making power about so many young people's future, and they're talking to me about charter schools taking students away from public schools.
Right.
And I'm looking at them like, let me tell y'all something. I don't care if it's a magnet school. I don't care if it's homeschool. I just want the young people to have a quality school to go to.
Right.
That's all I care about. And then the other thing, I'm also in this same room, and we're talking about the dynamics between a public school and a charter school. And I look around and I'm thinking, I'm the only person in this room that went to a public school that's now a founder of a charter high school.
Right.
So I know.
Yeah.
I lived it.
Exactly.
Yes. And that is exactly what you're saying. It shouldn't matter what it is. That's the message being carried across this country in all of the different ways they can with Howard Fuller and his crew of people. They're saying it's what about us? This should no longer be about delivery mechanisms. This is about education. We are in 2020, and people in other countries are trying to get it every which way, and we are still stuck on a 19th century model. It is abhorrent, and it is fantastic that you live as not only an ever-present reminder, but you are, as Michael said, kind of putting your money where your mouth is and pushing this out there. And we just want to be as supportive as we can in helping that message get out there. We have an opportunity to work with people across the country, you and I and all of us in this. There are hundreds of thousands of us, and we just need to step up to the proverbial plate or basket and make sure that we score.
Are you setting up to the foul line?
Okay.
He stepped up to the foul line.
I'm never good at sports.
He's got 10 toes down at the foul line, and he's getting it done.
Wait, let me show this.
Oh, by the way.
I'm a girl. I wasn't good.
Mentioning an outdated model. So, for those that don't know, and I'm giving away a lot of dirty secrets. Number one, I'm not a fan of tenure. Just like in any profession, you have to continue to work, continue to prove yourself, and continue to show your progress and your worth to keep a job in any profession.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, who believes that giving the same amount of money to educate a third grader to a district is equivalent to giving the same amount of money to an 11th grader? Do we not know it takes a lot more fiscal responsibility and discipline to deal with a young person that's, say, 15 years old versus somebody whose parents are taking them to school and they're in third grade?
And all the services they need and come with it and activities. I know it. It's insane.
Yes, absolutely. Well, absolutely. So I appreciate you guys working for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you so much, Jalen, and we will make sure that all of our listeners out there have links about your phenomenal school in Detroit. This has been a fantastic edition of Reality Check. We've been speaking with former NBA basketball star, current ESPN analyst, education reformer, and colleague Jalen Rose. Michael, did you want to add a last?
Yes, now, Jalen, so the second Jalen Rose Academy will open up in Washington, D.C. That's my prediction, because you're going to call
Let's
us.
Make it happen.
And we're going to help you get it started, because you'd be surprised. We do get money in D.C. for facilities, and they do differentiate in things. But, Gene, I got to bring up one point. Jay, I'm sorry, I got to go to a basketball point. I know okay. you've been more successful, in my view, with what you've done with kids after, but you look back freshman year, 597 points. Do you ever think one more 3-pointer falls and I got 600? Do you ever go back and want to just change it and hit that three one more time?
Well, in the era of analytics, if I would have really been paying attention to the numbers, I would have got it, no question.
Oh, there you go. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. All right.
On that note, Jalen Rose, thank you so much for being our guest on Reality Check. It's been an absolute pleasure. This is Jeannie Allen with my co-host, Michael Musante.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Reality Check. You can subscribe to Reality Check at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn, and never miss an episode. Visit us online at edreform.com and follow CER on Twitter at edreform and me, Jeannie Allen. I look forward to exploring the world of education with you and another prominent guest next time. See you then.